Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey, friends, welcome to the show and welcome to the segment I'm calling Sappy Cynthia. And it's Sappy Cynthia because, as you know by now, if you've been here long, you know that I have 2 kids graduating this year. Our daughter's graduating from college and our son is graduating from high school. And last night was a night I was not looking forward to. It was Brett's very last baseball game. And to say we're a baseball family is like a massive understatement. We have been doing this with Brett since he was 4 or 5 years old, and my husband has coached him most of these years. And we had the peewee days when all they wanted was the snacks, all the way through elementary and early junior high with select teams and then school teams and JV and varsity. And man, has it been a ride. I remember the really old moms. I mean, really old moms that had like seniors in high school back in the day, a long time ago, saying, take it all in. One day it will be over. And I remember thinking, but that day ain't today, people, because I'm schlepping the snacks and trying to make all the games and sweating it up. But then yesterday it was my day. And I look back over the time and with a few quick observations, I would just say, you don't know what you don't know about your kids in athletics or whether it's drama or dance or whatever. I remember thinking, wow, is Brett ever going to get to play? Because there's at the youngest age, these incredible athletes and these kids that were just spectacular. And so many of them ended up not playing or having other interests later on or having an injury or just kind of tailing off. And then some of the kids that were slow starters, and I would put Brett in that category, man, did they shine later on in junior high and high school. And so you don't know what you don't know. And because of that, always, always choose relationships first with people. I've seen so many times friendships fractured. I've seen people left out, kids in the crossfire of it because people wanted to get their kids on the right teams or not have this kid on that team or whatever the things are. And it's just not worth it. And so friendships, man, what a gift they have been to have these friendships over the years with all of these families that become your family when you're doing sports. I also was thinking about the fact that last night would have been a lot more nostalgic if I didn't have a stomach bug. Yeah, there you have it. 4 days, people. 4 days I've had a stomach bug. And on the positive side, I've lost 8 pounds. I mean, I'm joking, kind of. But on the negative side, it has not been pretty over here. And so I was going to that game last night. I don't care. I was going to his last game. And it didn't matter that I spent a third of that game in the bathroom. But I went, you guys. And I thought, boy, isn't that really what it looks like? It's like a metaphor for mothering and for parenting. Is like, you just show up, whatever state you're in, however you're feeling, whatever, like there's no room or place for that. You just show up. And I was thinking back of all these years, and I just say, I've never regretted showing up for my kids and showing up for the sports and showing up whether I felt it or didn't feel it. Like, I just haven't regretted that. And I haven't regretted the times that I chose relationship with other people over getting it right for my kid. I just haven't regretted that. And I haven't regretted just watching it play out with Brett in whatever way it's supposed to. Mike was always so picky with coaches. He's like, I'd rather him be on a worse team with the right coach than vice versa. And I'm so thankful to have been able to watch that. I haven't regretted the people that have fed into my son's life all of these years. And so, yeah, baseball ended. And then today, to add insult to injury, Brett, it was his last. See, I'm totally out of it over here. It was his last time to lead worship for his school. And woo, he sang a solo, Jesus Paid It All, and it was incredible. So I'm just Sappy Cynthia over here. This weekend, we will go and graduate Kate from college, and I will, I'm sure, have a lot to say about that next week. But for today, we are going to have Libin Abraham with us, and he is the pastor of my church at Bentree Bible. And he just did this incredible series on the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know that I was going to benefit so greatly from a sermon series on the Holy Spirit, but my goodness, just realizing what I didn't know and how I'm underutilizing the Holy Spirit in my life, I thought, wow, this is information I needed and that you guys need too. And so I just want to encourage you. We're going to do it over 2 weeks. It's going to be a little weird because I didn't stop in the middle and make it a second episode. We just kept going. So I'm just going to cut it off at the halfway point, and then we're going to do the rest of it the next week. So you're going to love Libin. He is so practical in how he talks about the Holy Spirit. And I just think this is an important topic and one that maybe we don't address often enough. So let's kick it off today with Libin Abraham. Libin, welcome back to Mesmerized. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be back. Good to see you, Cynthia.
Third time, maybe? Fourth time?
I don't maybe know. Maybe third time's a charm or fourth.
Third
maybe.
Time. I don't know, but thanks
just,
for
like,
being
just like try this again until it sticks. Is that the deal?
Till it sticks. Till you'll come on every week, or better yet, when you take over the podcast and it's like the Libin Abraham podcast and I come on once a year, it'll be great.
No so way. Yeah, that's a good
thanks
way to
for doing
it.
This. Oh, hey, you have a new baby. Everyone, and I said this in the intro, but obviously this is the pastor of the church, Mike and I, and our family. We attend, and Libin's amazing, and he is this precious young wife, and now a third kiddo is he 3 months now?
He just turned 4 months on April 27th, so yeah, he's
are you over the hump yet? Like, I don't know. I feel like 6 weeks, I'm like, I will never have another kid. I will never, like, I get, and then like around 3 to 4 months, I'm like, okay, we're over the hump a little bit.
Yeah, we feel like we're in the good season now. Like, yeah, he's starting to sleep on schedule and sleeps through the night. And so it's just been a sweet thing. And so, yeah, now it's like, okay, we can manage our schedules now, you know, and yeah. I'm not always tired. So
I guess when your wife's a pediatrician, you don't have like all the same craziness that you have in the rest of our homes, but nonetheless, yeah, it's still a sleep thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's still, she's still a mama and I'm still a dad. And so there's all that, you know, managing the, all of us. But our older kids have just done so well. So proud of them. My daughter is 8. My son is 5. And so they become little helpers and, you know, they're doing a great job adjusting. So it doesn't feel like awesome. We have 3 little ones, you know, we got some helpers. So we feel great.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. I was impressed because I was following you on Instagram when y'all took the family spring break vacation with a newborn. And I was like, you people, that's why the Lord has us have children when we're in like our 20s and 30s. And you don't have like a second grader when you're 50s like me, because you're like, I'm sorry, I'm too tired. I cannot do these things any longer. So anyway, y'all are doing it.
You're
doing
it. Yeah. You guys are crushing it. So.
Well, we'll see about that. Touch base when he hits high school. But all right. Well, so you just finished a series at church that was incredible on the Holy Spirit. And I really loved it because, and you kind of referenced this when you were preaching too, but if you've grown up in different faith perspectives, you have different ideas of the Holy Spirit, right? And mm-hmm. and I think especially like I grew up very Baptist, and you know that, and in the best of all ways, and in some ways where I'm like, huh, I wonder if we were actually knew what we were talking about back then. And there were some preconceived notions. And so I've always been familiar with obviously the Holy Spirit. I say obviously, I will tell you, we've really messed up with our youngest kid. When he was little, he would say the Holy Spirit was Jesus, God, and Jonah. And we were always like, okay, well, I don't know when Jonah got in the Trinity, but nonetheless. But as a girl who grew up in church and does actually know about the Holy Spirit, I was so thankful that you came in and really made it relevant to everyday life. And that's what I want to do for people listening. I want us to step back from maybe some of the things we've thought or some preconceived notions and revisit why this matters and why we need to care about the Holy Spirit being active in our lives. And so with all of that preface, I ask this, how are you seeing the Holy Spirit move in the church these days? And I don't mean at Bentree Bible, I mean in the capital C church in general.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Spirit has always been on the move since beginning of creation. I mean, God's Spirit has always been on the move, but I think our awareness of Him has gone up and down, or we just have pretended like He's not active. But the Spirit comes where He's wanted and welcomed, you know. And I think in the global church, there is this, I do see this heightened awareness of the Spirit's activity. I mean, you think about what's happening with our Gen Z and college students and high school students today. I mean, they're filling up stadiums just preaching really in a quote-unquote the old time gospel and inviting people to repentance and salvation and baptism and all of that. It's not the theatrical from, you know, the Asbury revival, those kind of things. It's like, man, really super simple, non-produced. And I think the more we depend on the Spirit and the more we welcome Him and don't just tolerate Him, but welcome Him. I think historically, a lot of the churches, you know, a lot of the church history, we've tolerated the Spirit. We know He exists. He's a member of the Trinity, but let's just treat Him like the weird uncle at Thanksgiving that nobody talks to or wants anything to do with. But no. Let's actually live as if we needed Him every moment. I think when you live in that posture, I think He shows up and He does miraculous things. Saves the lost. He heals the wounded. You know, those kind of things. You just see the Spirit doing what He's always intended to do. And so I am seeing this not just in the global world, but here in America. And my kind of conviction a few years ago around this was, so many churches in North America, especially, are built around personalities. And so when the pastor's personality or leadership personality, if that's the driving point, well, if that personality falls or has a moral failure or hits by a bus, then it's the ministry just collapses, right? Yeah. No, the church is never built around any human personality. It's always around Jesus, and it's the presence of God that we want. And so my just core conviction has been we want a church built around the presence of God. And you can't have that without an emphasis on the Spirit of God. So that's kind of my heart around this.
So good. So good. And so let's go totally most basic foundational level. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who's available to? And I think you kind of touched on this, but is this post resurrection kind of thing? Or is the Holy Spirit has been a part of the Trinity from the beginning of time, like we've known God to be?
Yeah, well, obviously the very fundamental reality of the Holy Spirit, He's the third person of the Trinity. He is God. You know, He's not just someone who points us to God, but He is Himself in one essence with the Godhead. And so Father God, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And I think what God has always longed for His creation was there to be no gap between God's people and God's presence. Now, ever since sin entered the story in Genesis 3, you see that gap begin to widen. But yet God still shows up in many ways. You know, God would meet people at an altar, at a tabernacle, or the temple. And the Spirit of God, you see in the Old Testament, descending on people for very specific jobs and very specific ministries, and then He would leave. But in the New Testament, what you see is God forever unites His people with Himself by giving them the Holy Spirit. So when I describe the Holy Spirit, He is the very dwelling place of God that has moved inside of us. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon people, but in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, the Spirit is inside of us. And so Jesus even makes that remark to His disciples to say, hey, the Holy Spirit's been with you, but now the Holy Spirit's going to be inside of you. So His address has changed to be inside the believer. And so I think it's a beautiful reality that this almighty Spirit of God that has been moving, and one of the Old Testament descriptions of the Spirit is wind or breath, you know? So it's just this breath, the wind of God, the very energy of God has moved its dwelling place into the human heart. Your question about who is it for, sometimes we may think, well, Holy Spirit's for really good Christians, the super Christians, the seminary people, pastors, missionaries, leaders, but that's not the case. The Holy Spirit is for every believer. Holy Spirit is not for good people. He is for forgiven people, right? Mm. He's not for ministry leaders. He is for any child of God who has placed their faith in Christ. Now, we know we can't even place our faith in Christ unless the Spirit moves on us and invites us and moves us into being in Christ. But the moment we receive Christ, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And I think the rest of our life's journey is, it's not just that we're filled with Him at salvation, but every day we are filled by Him. We're filled by all that He has, His gifts, His power, His love, and just His wisdom and how He points us to Jesus. And so I often say, we're filled with the Spirit at salvation. Then daily, we're meant to live a life where we're filled by Him, and He completely moves into every area of our life. Yeah.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, that makes total sense, and that helps. Now, here's kind of a technical question, but if we're praying for a non-believer, is it inaccurate to pray like Holy Spirit speak to them? Like, would they have a Holy Spirit that could speak to them? I mean, I know that's kind of technical. Is that inaccurate way to pray for someone, or does the Holy Spirit speak into unsaved people as well?
No, for sure, the Holy Spirit speaks to non-saved people, and that's how you are convinced of who Jesus is. The Spirit has to speak to you. So, okay. Like, you know, I know so many people, like, this is happening in the Middle East. People are having visions of a man in white coming to, actually, one of our staff members whose mom is in Ethiopia, she just had this, she doesn't know anything about Jesus. This is many years ago. This is how she came to Christ. She said, I had this dream. I was, like, in bondage to all the stuff, and then this man in white who had a bandana covered in blood reached out his hand to me and just said, trust me. And, like, you know, it was just like this, obviously it's Jesus, and then she had this image of heaven, all those kind of things. And so God speaks through the Spirit, inviting people to follow Jesus. Now, I wouldn't say that they have the Holy Spirit in them, but he's capable of speaking to them. But once they've trusted in Christ, now the Holy Spirit lives inside of them.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, and so let's talk about when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's like, it's better that I'm going to be gone. And you kind of made this point when you were preaching how it would be so amazing. Like, every one of us would love to be like, Jesus is walking with us. Like, my friend is walking with me, and I can just ask him questions physically all day. He's with me. And like, how much it would seem so much simpler if we had Jesus as an active part of our life, like we have our spouse or our best friend. And then you talked about this, like, that Jesus is like, no, it's better that I'm not here with you. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So in the Upper Room Discourse in John, you know, really 13 onwards, in John 16, Jesus tells his followers, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. And I'm like, he has to emphasize that because they're not going to think he's telling the truth, right? So he's like, hey, guys, this is for real truth. Then he says in verse 7, it is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. And if I go, then I will send him to you. So obviously he's been physically with the disciples 3+ years of ministry. He has been in the flesh with them. And so for him to say, it's actually for your benefit that I go away, like, who in their right mind would think that Jesus going away is for our benefit? And I told our church, like, okay, if you could pick, you know, between having the Spirit and seeing Jesus through faith or having Jesus physically next to us, of course we would all pick Jesus, right? In the flesh with us. But no, Jesus, I would. I mean, but Jesus seems to think, no, it's for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor cannot come to you. And so the way that Jesus was comforting his disciples for the cross and life beyond the resurrection, for ministry, all of that was the very real presence of the Spirit. And he seems to be convinced that it's for their benefit. Like, we would say, well, that seems like a downgrade to have, you know, the Spirit instead of Jesus in the flesh. But he believes it's an upgrade. Like, something for the better has happened to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And I think, I thought there's at least, you know, maybe three, just from that John 16 chapter, there's probably at least three ways that it is for our benefit. So benefit number one, it's we have a better relationship with Jesus. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit here as another counselor. Sometimes when we think about counselor, we think of, like, okay, somebody, you know, and that word is parakletos. It's around, like, legal counsel. So in our context, we go hire a lawyer to be a legal counsel. But in first century, your counselor, your advocate was your closest companion that you say, hey, could you come and bear witness for something? And so Jesus is saying the one that I have always been with is now going to be your counselor, your advocate. And so Jesus is giving us his same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be with us and to be inside of us. And then he says in John 15, hey, when the Spirit comes, this is verse 26 to 27, the one I'm going to send to you, the Spirit of truth, he will testify about me. Right? And so, like, the disciples of Jesus walked with Jesus in the flesh, and they still missed out on who Jesus was in many ways. Like, he would say things and it would just go right over their head. Like, we talked about yesterday, James and John, like, sons of Zebedee, Jesus is talking about the crucifixion, and they're like, okay, but can you just make sure we're at your right and left? Like, they just are missing stuff. But Jesus is like, look, you're not going to get it, but when the Spirit comes, he will testify. And so so our relationship with Jesus is so strengthened and made more intimate because the Spirit reveals and testifies Jesus to us. So every day the Holy Spirit is testifying to us about who Jesus is. He is reminding us of how amazing, loving, caring, holy, majestic, gracious Jesus is. And so the job of the Holy Spirit is to keep reminding and testifying to Jesus. And so I think that our relationship actually deepens because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. The second thing that we read about in John is we have missional power because the Spirit is inside of us. So Jesus told his disciples about, hey, the one who believes in me will do the works I do and even greater works. So he's talking about the very missional life of the disciples. Now, Jesus, when he was in the flesh, he was doing the works of the Father. But now that we have his Spirit, we can do the works of the Father. And Jesus says even greater works, meaning wherever you are, you know, the works of the Father are no longer limited to one person in one geography, in one country, wherever that one physical containment is. Now, wherever the church is, the works of the Father are being accomplished. And that happens because the Spirit of the Lord is the same Spirit that Jesus said is on him in Luke 4, good news and proclaiming good news to the poor, release of the captives, recovery of sight, setting the oppressed free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Like that same Spirit that was on the Lord, on Jesus, is inside of us doing the same work today. So the Holy Spirit is our benefit because he deepens our relationship. He empowers us for mission. And the last thing you see in John is he is the one who brings real true conviction. And so Jesus talks about, hey, when he comes in John 16, verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's not on us to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit does that. He convicts us of the sin of unbelief. He convicts us of how righteous we are. And he tells us in John later on in John 16, verse 11, he convicts us of how the ruler of the world has already been judged. So the confidence you need about life, the reminder of being righteous for all the unbelief, the Spirit of God brings that deep conviction. So I would say for those reasons and many more, it's actually to our benefit, according to Jesus, not to me, but to Jesus, it's for our benefit. And so to lean into how is it better, I think this is what J.D. Greer in his book, Jesus Continued, he talks about, it's better to have the Spirit inside of us than to have Jesus beside us. That's really what John is saying.
Makes sense. And I remember as I hear you speak at this, and I was thinking this when you were preaching it as well, I was like, it kind of takes the pressure off, which is so nice. Like when I think missionally about the fact that like, I have the Spirit inside of me, like it's not all about me. It's not all up to me. Like it gives me this confidence, which I know we academically already know, but I'm like, wow, when you have the Spirit in you, it's not like I'm waiting for Libin to come over and help me write a chapter in my book because I need the theology, or I'm waiting for it's inside of us already through the Spirit, and then I also even thought about the conviction piece of it. Like, I think we've all had those pauses in our spirit when we're about to say something. Now, I need more pause in my spirit, Libin. Everyone who listens this knows that, because I speak what I think, and I'm like, oh, gosh, foot and mouth. But that pause in your spirit of, like, that conviction, those moments of, like, that's not God's best for you in your life. That's not what, we're about. Or even those moments as you're tying up relationship where you're driving through the mountains and Colorado or wherever you are, and you're like, that's all God, like that's all him. And I just like that you're saying, like, all those things that might just feel like a little revelation or a little like whatever, a pause in your spirit, like that's Holy Spirit working in you, and how amazing that is to know that man, take the pressure off. You have someone inside you that's working on your behalf with the Lord, doing the mighty things you can't do on your own. I mean, there's something there, right?
Absolutely. So you just think about how like bewildered and confused the disciples are as they're hearing Jesus talk about his departure and crucifixion, and then he tells them, oh, by the way, you're gonna be thrown into prison and put before leaders. But then it says, don't worry, the Spirit's gonna tell you what to say. Otherwise, the disciples would have been so metaphorically paralyzed by the fear and intimidation of all that's ahead. But Jesus was comforting them and empowering them. It's not on you. The Spirit inside of you is going to speak. He's going to act. He's going to move. And so I think that is such a liberating thing for anyone listening right now who feels like, man, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can write that or say that or apply for that job or move to this place. I feel so powerless. And the truth is, you are power-filled because you are Spirit-filled. And everything you need has been deposited inside of you because the Holy Spirit of the living God lives in you.
Yeah. And I just love it. I know you've had this experience. You've talked about it. I've had this experience where you've gone to speak somewhere or you're preaching at your church or whatever, and you just say something that you never thought you were going to say, and it doesn't even stand out or whatever it is. Then later someone comes up and says, holy cow, like yeah. that was the one thing I needed yeah. the Lord to say. Or, I mean, I've even before written something that I'm like, that's just not very good. I don't feel great about it, whatever. And later someone will come back years later and be like, do you know that that's like what led us to start foster care? Like the Holy Spirit spoke right. through that. And just that reminder that, yeah, that is taking our simple, not adequate words and doing something mighty in other people's lives, like, you know, through the Holy Spirit's work. That's incredible to think about. So, yeah. Okay, let's talk about this. And I want everyone to know, we're going to get to the point of how do you know when you're hearing from the Holy Spirit? I thought that might have been my favorite sermon part of the series you gave. So we're getting there. Like, how do you know? How do you know if you're hearing him? But before we get there, let's talk about this. If we want to be people, like if hopefully we're getting convinced in this, that we want to be people that are Spirit filled, right? That we want to have the Holy Spirit active in our life. How do we know if we're actually living that way? And you killed it with the alliteration when you talked about this, that, you know, the things to look for to see if you're living Spirit filled. You talked about passions, promptings, powers, prayers, praise. Listen, if anyone can appreciate a good alliteration, Liban, it is Cynthia Yanoff. And so, the Baptist. I mean, if you must. Yeah, you messed up because you had more than 3 points, and I just want you to know there's grace for you. But if you're going to go real Baptist, it's alliteration with 3 points only. But talk to us about that. Like, how do we know if we're when you're looking at someone, you're like, man, they're living Spirit filled. What does that look like?
Yeah. You know, like sometimes when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think, well, is that an experience? Is that like a one-time encounter? But the way that the scripture paints the journey with the Spirit, it's a relationship with the Spirit. Like, he's not somebody to be frightened of or forced. It's a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And the language that often the New Testament writers use is walking in the Spirit or living in the Spirit. So it is like an active journey with the Holy Spirit. Like, you're walking with him as if he was a person. Yeah, so I gave kind of 5 ways that we can live in the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. And they all do start with peace. But the first one is it has to deal with passions. Like, the Spirit reorients our desires. And you read Galatians 5, you know, it talks often about how the flesh desires, but it's opposite to the Spirit, and how we're called to live by the very desires of the Spirit. So I think one of the things that, and Romans 8 talks about this as well, but when you have the Holy Spirit, he actually starts changing what you desire. Like, the very passions of your life begin to change. And I've met, you know, people like, you know, maybe you've had this and others on our staff, like Steve Rizzell and others, like, hey, long before we ever adopted our first kid, like, God was birthing a desire, and our very desires begin to change. So you start to long for what he wants, you know, so you don't long for the, you know, passions of the flesh anymore. You long for the things of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit changes your desires. The second is he gives you promptings. And so he moves us to respond to his voice. And we can talk about this a little later when we get to how to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. But he is a person who speaks. He's not a quiet, silent member of the Trinity. He is speaking. So he's often giving us promptings and inviting us to follow. And that's when you mentioned, like, sometimes we'll say things we didn't plan to say. And I remember in a sermon, I was preaching on something, and I just kind of blurted out the statement, like, God saw you in the hospital bed. And this lady ran up to me afterwards, after the second service, and said, with tears in her eyes, and she said, did you say that statement? I was like, yeah, I did. It wasn't in my notes. Wasn't planning on saying it. But I just kind of felt led, and I just said it for whatever it could mean. And then she said, well, right before you said that, I asked God this question while listening to your sermon. You know, did you see me while I was in the hospital and gave birth to a stillborn child 4 years ago? And she said that literally the next phrase out of my mouth was, God saw you in the hospital bed. And so just like listening to these small promptings of the Spirit. And so, yeah, he reorients our passions. He gives us promptings. And he gives us power. That's the third one. The Spirit empowers our character, and that's evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit. And he enables our ministry, and that's evidenced by the gifts of the Spirit. And you need both the Holy Spirit for both the fruit of the Spirit, which is the way he transforms our character, and for the gifts of the Spirit, which is the way he empowers our ministry. So you can read about that in Galatians 5, about both the fruit of the Spirit and we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit too, but there's so many things that the Spirit wants to give you power to do in how you minister to others and how you embody and express the very character of Jesus. And that happens through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So yeah, passions, promptings, power. And the fourth thing is prayer. Like, there's actually a way that we pray in the Spirit. So like Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. And then he says, with every prayer and request, stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for the saints. So the way that Paul feels like the normal for our prayer life is that we pray in the Spirit at all times for whatever request. And however you pray, there is a kind of praying that's in the Spirit. And Romans 8, verse 26 helps answer what that means, where Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with inexpressible groanings. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So I told our church, like, you're never praying alone. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, he is always interceding. So like praying in the Spirit is actually listening to how the Spirit inside of you is praying and giving words to the groanings of the Spirit. Because I know, like, me, my temptation is I just start blurting out whatever comes to mind. But actually praying in the Spirit may actually be listening more than I'm talking. It's actually dialing into, Holy Spirit, what are you praying through? What do you want in this moment? What do you want for this person? What is it that you're already interceding for? And how can my prayer join the already intercession of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, so that'd be my fourth thing, praying in the Spirit. And the last one is praise. And so the Spirit is always exalting Jesus in worship. So if you want to be a person who is aware of the Spirit wherever you are, just join the Spirit in what he's always doing, which is exalting and worshiping Jesus. And so Paul in Philippians 3 talks about, hey, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, like we boast in Christ Jesus and don't put confidence in the flesh. Ephesians 5:18 talks about, hey, be filled with the Spirit. And then it gives all these evidences of what that looks like. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we worship and we praise Jesus, that is actually joining the Spirit in what he has always existed to do, which is bring glory to the Son of God. And so, yeah, five ways of what does it look like for us to walk in the Spirit. And he reorients our passions. He gives us promptings. He gives us power for both ministry and to transform our character. There's a praying in the Spirit, and then we praise in the Spirit, which is joining the Spirit in his mission of exalting Jesus. So a quick summary of what that was about.
Well, and I love that because I think that it's easy to say, like, I believe the Holy Spirit exists. I believe he's there. I don't know that he's actually active in my life. I wish he were. But as you were preaching, so it was making sense. I thought of two examples. I recently had a friend who had a child in a pretty significant accident. And I just woke up in the middle of the night and was wide awake. And I just felt this prompting to pray for this person and their child. And so then I felt like you should text them. Well, they were in a crisis mode in the hospital. I'm like, I don't want to text. And I just kept feeling like text them. So I just started texting and she immediately texted back and said, pray right now. So I just started typing every prayer that came to mind. I just kept typing. I wasn't expecting her to be reading it, but just the prayers I was praying. Well, I went back later and I was able to talk with her later and she said, we were at a crisis point and to know somebody's there praying. But also I went back and read what I typed and those were not prayers that I typically would pray for someone. And so just that, like, okay, like the Holy Spirit is with us and he is an advocate and a help. And then the other thing I loved what you talked about is how it reorients your passions. And yes, we had that, you know, going into foster care. I always say, like, we were not foster care people. It wasn't like, I mean, I'm not sure anybody's like, hey, that sounds fun. Like that's a hard ministry, but how the Lord, he changes your passions. And even in the last, you know, 6 months, I felt like the Lord he keeps putting this one thing on my heart, like this over and over. I'm like, this is like the Holy Spirit. And I keep going back, is this Cynthia wanting to do this or if it's the Holy Spirit? But many of the things the Holy Spirit puts on my heart are not things that would naturally be Cynthia things or living things or whatever, right? It reorients what you want to do and what you feel called to. So I love that you make it so practical in that. All right, friends, thanks for being a part of this. And I know that was kind of a quick shut off of the conversation. That's only because we're going to do the next half of it next week. And we are going to talk about, how do I know if I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit? Am I hearing from the Holy Spirit or hearing from myself? Or was it what I ate last night? Like, we're going to talk about more practical sides of living with the Spirit inside of us. And so we'll do the second half of this conversation next week. And don't even worry, I'm sure I'll be talking all about college graduation and there will be more of Sappy Cynthia coming to you. But until then, you guys, thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. You're the very best.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.